Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, the only moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
What's the most sustainable way to love fashion? It's changing the way you shop by shopping with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. When you shop with The RealReal, you'll find the luxury brands you love, like Prada, Celine, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail. And when you're ready to refresh your wardrobe, you can sell the pieces you no longer wear to fund your next new-to-you finds. Buy, sell, repeat. Guilt-free. The RealReal extends the life cycle of luxury by keeping coveted items in rotation. Sell to shop, shop to sell with The RealReal. It's better for the planet and better for your closet. Plus, during Earth Month, you can earn $100 extra when you sell with The RealReal. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn $100 extra during the entire month of April at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Just Interesting podcast, the kind of weekly show where we discuss anything and everything interesting.
That's a lie.
That comes to mind.
It's weekly if you listen to the back catalogue once a week.
Yeah. These people might be tuning in a year's time. They don't need to know how irregular this has been over the last year. But yes, we are back and we're discussing something interesting. I mean, It's kind of difficult to decide what to talk about these days because so much insane things are happening in the news. So I think this week we just kind of, I mean, we don't want, this isn't like a political episode, I don't think. It's just like when someone says something so insane in a position of authority, you just have to kind of go, huh, that is interesting. That's interesting. And that's one of the stories that we want to talk about today, which is what the vice president said recently, where he said that aliens are actually demons. And I think we just want to take some time and unpack that just to see what, if there's any kernels of value in that at all. And then on top of that, probably discuss some other insane things going on right now. And before we get into that, of course, we need to discuss some things that are interesting that we learned this week. But before we get into that, fellas, it's been like a month. How have you both been? It's great to see you. Martin, are you on the run at the moment?
Oh no, yes. That's the campaign. It's QB, just keeping on the move.
You're looking a bit Jason Bourne over
Kevin
there.
Feige, baseball cap.
I've been in a number of different countries over the last month. Just staying out of trouble. You know how it is.
I do. No, yeah, of course.
I've been okay. I've been all right.
You have been to a number of different countries over the last month, though, haven't you?
I have. I've had a good time, but some for work, some for pleasure. I went on a stag do in Valencia and ended up breaking one of the ribs or cracking one of the ribs in my back.
So, you know, it's a good stag.
Yeah, exactly. It was a bit silly. Go-karting, you know how it is. So that wasn't fun, but the rest of it was. And, thoroughly recommend the city, but not hyper-competitive go-karting it. In your 30s, it's not a good idea.
Did you do it? You went up the ramp, did a backflip, landed it perfectly.
Okay, I said, what are you worried about? And then cracked my rib. there was reason to be worried, yes.
I just got this vision of Martin turning up to a monster truck rally and he thought it was go-karting. Like, I brought my go-kart. Everyone else is in a monster truck. What's going on?
Exactly. So that was it. That was something. Yeah, really nice city. Really nice city. But yeah, other than that, it's been east. I went camping. It rained. Yeah. You know, that happened. It was good.
Classic.
It was fun. Just a shame about the rain. But
fair enough.
Not too bad. In a few days, I'm going to Vienna as well. So I'm looking forward to that.
Vienna.
I was about to do the exact same thing. We've done this podcast for too long. My mind is just our identical, Robin. I was just about to do the exact same thing.
And last time we spoke, Alex, you said that Vienna, I mean, I'm holding you to this. You were like, yeah, loved it. So,
Oh, Vienna's an amazing city. Yeah. Yeah.
Best city.
If I'm not enjoying it, you'll get a call from me.
Okay. Yeah.
And the kids are upset about anything.
Make a just interesting short, Martin, of your review of Vienna while you're there.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm drinking some wine, actually, that has just become available in the UK, called Zweigelt, which I first had in Vienna.
Sounds quite German.
Not a Californian champagne by Paul Masson.
there's German Austrian red wine. It's often been celebrated for its petulance. It is actually German wine, but it was in Austria that I first had it. And as we know, the best things about Germany come from Austria, and the best things in Austria come from Germany.
Keep talking
all the way back to 1933.
Yeah, I think so.
Keep talking like that, and we might be able to get the vice president of the US on the show.
Actually,
yeah. He can explain his comments firsthand to us.
Hey, JD, come on board. Explain to us directly your beliefs concerning alien Nazis.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We're a bro podcast now. We're going to be talking. We're in the manosphere.
Can you feel the manosphere vibes bleeding through into your eardrums? Are you currently manosphered by our masculinity on full display?
Did we talk about this?
I don't think we have. I was just about to ask. Did you guys watch the documentary, the Louis Theroux one? Is that what you're going to ask, Martin?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
What did you think?
It was quite interesting. I was a bit disappointed you didn't kind of grill them more or dig a little bit deeper. I mean, I guess they kind of expose themselves as you would imagine, but yeah.
That is his kind of modus operandi, isn't it? Just kind of let them hang themselves with their own rope.
Yeah.
So, fellas, what have you learned this week? Robin, I see you breaking, but I'm going to go to you first.
Oh, that's not kind. That's not kind. What have I learned this week? Well, this is going to be my life now, by the way. Forewarning for the next umpteen episodes of podcasts. I'm going to be bringing thrilling train facts, such as, did you know the longest ever passenger train journey, the record, was set on the 27th of April, that's this month, in 1991, and a single locomotive with 70 passenger carriages.
Whoa!
70.
Okay.
Traveled, traveled 39 miles from Ghent to Ostend in Belgium.
How long was that? Would that be 70?
70 carriages. Actually, I don't know how they have the information about how long. Let's have a look, see if I can find that out.
I thought you were about the longest journey.
Longest train. Yeah.
What?
Longest train. Yeah.
Wow. 70. Wow.
Actually, I do have the length. It's 1,733 meters. So 1.7 kilometers.
Like 1.5 miles. Yeah. 1.3
miles. Those crossings waiting.
Oh, crazy. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. Insane.
Also, is there a platform in Belgium in 1991 that can hold that?
No,
absolutely.
There can't be a platform that's over a mile long. So a bunch of passengers. Imagine like the last 20 carriages or something. Maybe the last 30 carriages. Like if you want to alight at the next station, go to the front 25 carriages or something.
Imagine has a short platform.
Yeah. Or if they're like, oh, we are operating a trolley. We're not operating a trolley service, but the cafe is in coach C or whatever, and you're in like coach Z27.
Or better still, apologies, the toilets on this train are out of order, except for the toilet in coach 1.
Yeah.
Everyone crowding. Imagine coach 70. Oh, I'm busting. Run. Anyway, so 70 carriages.
Blimey.
To travel 39 miles, which I think, given it's a mile long itself, I'm not sure how that... It seems like such a pointlessly short journey for such a long train, but they did it.
Martin, what fact have you learned this week?
I learned about Yogi Bear.
What, his existence?
Probably not the Yogi Bear you're thinking of, though.
Oh.
This is Yogi Bear, a two-year-old black bear named Yogi, who in 1962 was part of a U.S. Air Force test in a B-58. So B-58 Hustler supersonic bomber, to be precise. So a really, really fast supersonic jet, can go up to 870 miles an hour, was tested in 1962. And Yogi, this poor two-year-old bear, went 870 miles an hour in this jet, and then was ejected at 35,000 feet and parachuted down to the earth and survived the test.
What the hell?
isn't that like a, I mean, it's a great story, right? He survived the test unharmed.
It's great because he survived, but if he died
in seconds, of course he was later euthanized so that doctors could examine any signs of damage on his internal organs. So
congratulations, you survived. Now we've got to know
why. Story's horrible.
That's awful. It's a terrible story.
Just think of this monkey heading to the sea.
They killed the bear.
They killed the bear. So the US Air Force have been doing bad things long before.
What year was that? 1950 something? What year was it?
1962.
I am curious about the logistics of this test. Was there another pilot in the plane piloting the plane as well? And then the bear was sat behind him.
That was the bear.
You know what? The article I'm on doesn't have a whole load of information about what was going on. But I imagine so.
That's kind of weird, isn't it? You've just got a bear sat behind you.
Yeah.
But also knowing that you're going to eject that bear. The bear doesn't know what's coming.
Well, that's it. The test is on the ejection going that fast, right? That's the test rather than the bear wasn't flying.
Why do you have to do it on a bear?
Why a bear?
What's that?
Can you not use a mannequin? Not a mannequin. Crash test dummy. Obviously not. I don't mean a mannequin from a closed store.
And it's falling out. You probably could. But 1962... space travel full force, testing these things out. And obviously they wanted something that resembled a human in terms of maybe it's a baby bear, 2-year-old. So perhaps it was similar in terms of its height and weight, perhaps. I don't know. But they chose a bear. And that's a terribly, horribly sad story.
I'm actually devastated by this story. This is horrendous.
That is grim.
You
couldn't do that today, not without written consent.
No, not unless it's a bomber going over Iran, and then you get the bear.
Well, so is Yogi Bear the cartoon named after this bear?
No, the other way around. This bear was named after, which is kind of depressing, isn't it?
It's kind of depressing.
So Yogi Bear, I looked it up. Yogi Bear was the 1950s. This was 62, so not long after.
Wow.
Five years after Yogi Bear. The cartoon Yogi Bear. Yeah. So I don't know the history of ejecting bears from planes, but this sounds like it was, pretty early.
Fairly unique example, I would hope.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Martin.
Don't eject bears from bombers is the moral of this story.
I don't have anything linking my fact to that, except for the fact that my fact also comes from the 1960s. And you said that was 1962. This is 1968. But it is a bit of a less bleak fact, I think. but did you know that the classic high jump technique of going over the pole backwards was only popularized in the 1960s by a man named Richard Douglas Fosbury? Dick Fosbury was his name. That's important. Remember that.
Flop.
Yeah, exactly. And in the 1968 Summer Olympics, he won gold with his technique and essentially changed the sport forever, with this new technique achieving near universal adoption in the world of high jump. And this technique is known as the Fosbury flop, as he mentioned, Martin, which if you have a mind as immature as mine, I'm sure you will find the fact that they called the Fosbury flop when his name was Dick
mildly annoying.
Yeah, why didn't they call it a dick flop? That's just
we were so close to greatness. We were this close. Yeah. But that's interesting. Short and sweet.
Yeah.
Very good.
Just I wonder like what other examples there are though of like people that were so good at their sport or came up with a new technique that just completely like changed how that sport worked, you know.
Now that's an episode. Actually, let's do that for an episode. Let's find out people who changed history.
Yeah.
In sports, yeah. I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. People who changed sport history.
Or like the way that something is played just by having a better technique that no one else had tried.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. We might have to work on the title for that one, but... But
well, something, I mean, just off the top of the head, like a question I've always had about something like golf, you know, I get the principle how you'd invent a game with holes and you hit a ball into the hole. But at some point someone said, what if I took this stick and put a kind of square bit on the end of it? I could hit the ball more easily. You know, at some point somebody thought that. And there was a period of time where people were just using sticks, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and even in like, you know, in, I don't know, think about any sport. There's always stuff that that evolves, and someone has to kind of invent it, don't they? Like in cricket, who was the first person to do spin bowling?
Yeah,
good question. Spin bowling. Yeah. Who was the first person to wear studs on their football shoes and be accused of cheating? It's not fair. Yeah. It's got an advantage because it was studs.
Yeah. Probably used to like gouge other players and stuff.
Yeah, definitely rugby. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I guess maybe you could look at, I don't know if this would count, but Michael Phelps in the swimming, like with the freestyle, like most people would just do front crawl because they thought that that was quickest, and he just would just do the butterfly, wouldn't he? And I think more people adopted it after that, but it's still mainly, it wasn't decided that that was universally the fastest way. He just was built different, I guess. yeah. But yeah, no, interesting. Yeah, maybe it could be a topic for another time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But fellas, before we move on to the main discussion, sorry, Robin, were you going to say something?
No, that was it.
Oh, okay. Before we move on to the main discussion, are there any people in particular who we'd like to thank for their continued ongoing support of the podcast?
Alex, I'm so glad you asked that because there are. Thank you to everybody who watches us on YouTube, listens to us on the podcast platform of your choice, but in particular, thank you to our Patreon supporters and YouTube members who are just the best of the best, and especially massive, mahusive thanks to Amy Licious, Cindy Hafner, Rashad Najjar, Caleb Wilkerson, Kurt Jones, John Baker, Janie, Henny Ruffle, Ahmad, Pizwad, Josh Chomatek, and Simon Workman.
Woo! Nice. So much. Thank you all so much. Yeah.
It's really hard to express just how much it means to us, I think, because particularly when we thank you as often as we can, I worry that it sounds less genuine, but it really is heartfelt, our thanks to you all. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, fellas, shall we discuss the main topic?
Oh, yeah.
So, what's been going on in the world lately? I mean, specifically, I guess, the lead-in to this... I mean, it's not really the main thing that's been happening, but I guess it's the cherry on top, shall we say. A nice little amuse-bouche icebreaker of madness that's happened in the last couple of weeks. And that was this weird story about J.D. Vance. Surprising, I know. where he said on a podcast, it was the conservative Benny Show podcast, that he believed that UFOs are demons. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
He said...
Pretty much.
He promised that he would spend time looking into what he called his obsession with UFOs and extraterrestrial visitors. And then he said, I don't think they're aliens. I think they're demons anyway, but that's a longer discussion. And then the podcast host naturally asked him to expand. Like, what? And he said, well, look, I think that celestial beings who fly around, who do weird things to people, I think that the desire to describe everything celestial, everything is otherworldly, to describe it as aliens. Every great world religion, including Christianity, the one that I believe in, has understood that there are weird things out there, and there are things that are very difficult to explain. And I naturally go, when I hear about sort of extra natural phenomenon, that's where I go, is the Christian understanding that, you know, there's a lot of good out there, but there's also some evil out there. I think that one of the devil's great tricks is to convince people he never existed. But then he promised to get to the bottom of it. So
there are a few strange things in there, aren't there? Said about aliens doing weird things to people. Can you expand on what they're... Sorry. What are they doing, JD? What are they doing? What weird things is he talking about?
Yeah, no idea. No idea, I'm afraid. But
I don't think he knew either.
I'm just amused by the fact that he thinks... So he's saying like these extraterrestrial sightings, which would have like a scientific explanation rather than like a... it is a bit paranormal, but it's like a... It's more of a scientific in nature. He's saying that it's because of his Christian faith and he believes that they're actually like demons or something that the devil sent. But then in the very next sentence promises to get to the bottom of it. What are you going to do? Are you going to, John Constantine this? Like what are you doing, JD?
That's a very good point.
Yeah. I mean, just to be... And it doesn't matter about like whether I agree with him on other political topics or not. Just the very statement of, you know, I'm going to get on this because I've been too busy lately, and it's my obsession. I'm like, well, the president literally, what, a month ago, 2 months ago, said, release all the files. You're the vice president. You've been doing not much in recent months and keeping a very low profile. What have you been doing that has prevented you from pursuing your obsession, which the president himself has ordered the files relating to which to be released? It's like I think it's clearly it's not his obsession. No. It's just some other weird thing that he's into. But just to kind of talk about the concept of UFOs and aliens or demons, we never actually covered this, I don't think, before, that this is something that the Christian right believes in. And he converted to Catholicism, I think, in 2019 when he was in his mid-30s. I'm trying to think. Yeah, 35, I guess, when he converted to Catholicism. So quite late in life to make that switch. And presumably that's when he embraced this theory that aliens are demons sent to test us, I guess. So in the Bible, as far as I recall, there's nothing explicit said by Jesus about UFOs and aliens. No commentary there. But demons exist. Demons are in the Bible and in the New Testament as well. Jesus exorcises the demons, the We Are Legion or whatever it is, from that possessed man. So it's perfectly reasonable that certain people of the Christian faith would believe that demons are real. And I guess it goes back to this kind of creationist, deny dinosaurs exist, fundamentalist view that we can't accept that anything other than life on Earth exists because it's a challenge to our belief that God made the Earth to be something really, really special. So any potential life outside Earth has to be a test sent by the devil and therefore is a demon, which I find really odd because... Most of the denominations of Christianity, I think even, well, actually, no, I'm going to say this. I'm pretty sure even the Catholic Church itself now officially adopts the position that life on other outside Earth exists and the universe is part of God's creation. You know, the science is pretty solid that the universe exists. It's a thing. It's billions of years old. Probability says life exists outside this planet. So why they can't accept that and have to explain it away as it's demons, I don't understand.
This might be going off on a bit of the wrong direction, like tangent, but is that actually true? Like their position is that intelligent life might exist elsewhere? Because I'm curious then, in that case, do they also believe that those planets must have had their own prophets, Jesus equivalents, sent from God?
Because that is a debate.
Because how they wouldn't know who Jesus is, you know?
Yeah, there is a debate that goes on, and I don't think... It's quite a niche debate, but it's also like a major debate, like some serious thinkers argue about it, which is the revelation of Jesus to us on Earth unique to us, or did Jesus turn up on every planet that has intelligent life? Exactly as you just said. And it's a question with quite great implications, and different people like to believe different things, depending on how special they want humanity to be. Because obviously it's quite convenient to say, oh, I accept that science indicates life, intelligent life exists elsewhere in the universe. And that in theory makes us less special because I was told, as the Bible tells us, that God created us. But hey, actually, Jesus maybe only came to us. Therefore, that makes us special, even though life does exist outside our planet. And some people say, I think you could read into it, for example. Some people say, yeah, Jesus was special to us, therefore we are special in the eyes of God. Other people say, like, we're the really bad kids because we're the only ones who needed Jesus to come down.
That's,
and
that's
save
an interesting
us all,
view,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, we're the terrible ones.
Well, they didn't. Earth. Oh no!
Yeah, yeah.
Other intelligent life. They didn't need anyone to die for their sins. They were. They were doing.
I don't know.
Fine.
Yeah. I don't know if anyone's made the argument. I don't know. Some people do contemplate the possibility of, does every intelligent life in the universe have their equivalent of Jesus? But I don't think anyone's posited the notion that, like Martin just joked, it's part of Jesus' job. Like, he's up there in heaven with God.
I'm very like, self.
And this week, Jesus, you've got to go save the people on planet X. Mm. And Jesus is like, do I have to be crucified again? Just like, not crucifixion. Burned to death, alive. Is that all right this time? It's like, oh, man.
This time they're going to crush you with a big rock.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. A bit of a Groundhog Day situation going on.
Yeah. This time they're going to bury you in the sand and let some things like ants eat you from the toes up. Is that okay this time, Jesus? It's like, oh. Really? Obviously, if you want to get really serious about it, you could debate. It depends on whether you think Jesus was fully human, in which case it would be like...
There would need to be like an immaculate conception on this alien planet of like that kind of...
Yeah, I meant just to take the joke seriously. Jesus isn't an entity necessarily in his own right outside of the man Jesus who was on Earth 2,000 years ago. That was God taking human form. So Jesus lived experience. If you subscribe to the theory that he's fully human, which most Christians do, then it's kind of like, this is a very heretical example, I think, analogy, but it's kind of like Men in Black when that little alien is inside the old man. Do you remember, like, he's controlling the robot body, but imagine it's a real human and the spirit and power of God are within that human.
I'm just imagining the Pope using this example, just being like,
"This is terrible.
How do I how do I explain
this? I'm sure
this.
There are better ones.
You know the film Men in Black?
Yeah. It's the first thing that came to mind, because it's a bad example. But yeah, imagine if it was you. You're just you, and you don't know anything outside your lived experience on Earth, but you hit 33, and suddenly God fills you, and it's like, oh, hey, I'm actually speaking on behalf of God, and I have the powers of God. That's one way to look at Jesus. So it's possible that, every civilization in the universe has their own Jesus. It's just not Jesus. It's just God inhabiting the body of somebody from that planet.
Yeah. They have a different name, probably.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But back to J.D. Vance. And, like, his reason for saying this.
Mm.
Like, obviously, it's a politically motivated, somewhat calculated, even if wrongly, statement to make, right? It's like he's trying to appeal to someone, a subset. Do you think that this is too far out there, too wacky to appeal to his to appeal to kind of fundamentalist right wing Christians? How widespread is this theory that aliens are demons, or actually they're like more kind of mainstream Trumpers, mainstream MAGA? They're like, well, this is just wild. What I'm trying to say is, do you think it's actually going to be a net positive for him politically, or is it too far out there? So you look at it, what is he saying?
I think the timing is interesting. So, I mean, most vice presidents, as you know, tend to keep quiet and tend to just toe the line. Mm. So, to a certain extent, you'd expect him to follow Trump's lead, right? But I think it's weird that, as far as I know, he's never mentioned this before, ever, until now, when Trump has said, I'm going to release the UFO files. And there's, like as I said at the beginning, there's J.D. Vance saying, yeah, it's my obsession. I'm definitely going to do something about it. Yeah. Just like, well, you've had a month at least since Trump ordered the files to be released and you've done nothing about it. So, you know, is it really that important to you? I think you're right. I think it seems like it's just another thing of him trying to court the Trumpian base. Yeah. And he's just opportunistically saying it. And like he always says, everything weird. Because if you look at the phrasing that Alex read out at the beginning as well, it's so kind of wishy-washy.
Yeah.
It just sounds like he's just saying it for the sake of saying it.
Like now, with what's going on elsewhere, part of me thinks like he's doing a public speech, or he's on a podcast and he's looking at the clock, right? And it's like, okay, I've got 25 minutes left. Mm. If I mention something about UFOs, that's going to eat up another 8 minutes of me not having to talk about Iran and foreign policy, which is absolutely a mess.
Oh, I see.
This would be the headline, right? It may be from a more cynical perspective, but
it does change the discussion. Yeah.
In the same way that he saw Obama mentioned UFOs and it went viral. So,
He shouldn't have said that. He shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
But that also.
But this is J.D. Vance's thought process. He's like, Obama did it, so I'll do it. And it will. Yeah.
But that also makes me think, like, maybe because Trump hates seeing Obama get any sort of attention at all, maybe this was ordered by Trump. Mm. This was a Karate Kid. He took him aside and said, sweep the leg. this was him like, you've got to talk about aliens and you got to say something mental. Get Obama out of the headlines. You're going to be the crazy guy talking about aliens. Say something.
I guess Alex Jones has publicly come out very much against Trump, hasn't he?
Yeah, on the Iran war at least, yeah.
Yeah, massively against him. Yeah. So maybe he's like, okay, let's take that. Let's take the Alex Jones conspiracy. Let's see if we can eat up a little bit of that audience and have you, JD, as the conspiracy theorist, Alex Jones wannabe.
But there has got to be like a big kind of crossover between people that believe that the government are covering up aliens and that aliens and UFO technology exists or like that. Maybe even that the UFO technology is like some, you know, anti-Semitic kind of conspiracy and it's like Israeli technology or whatever. Like, you know, there's lots of that going around. So, yeah, I mean, it would surely alienate that part of the MAGA base as well by saying that, oh, no, that's not true. They're demons, you know?
But he seemed to hint at that, you know, that his phrasing was something on the lines of, I'm going to find out what's really going on or whatever, which it's consistent with J.D. Vance in the past of occupying this anti-establishment position that Trump famously has occupied in the minds of his supporters for a long time. And it's what really riled me up about it and these comments by Vance, because it's like, I'm going to dig into it and get into it. Just like, but you're the vice president.
You are the government.
Yeah, you are the government. And the president has just said, and the president's just said, release the files. So there's like, what is there to get into? What is there to Like, yes. Where's the cover-up? There is nothing here. Except what you're now doing is implying that there's some kind of governmental cover-up of a religious phenomenon, which is by its own nature unprovable. So, like, what's going on here? It's so bizarre. I did look it up, actually, because I don't think it's very mainstream at all, this theory. It's quite an extreme niche thing. And as far as I could tell, the first time it was brought up was in 1954 in a pamphlet written by a man called Walter V. Grant, published by the Dallas Faith Clinic in 1950, called Men in the Flying Saucers Identified, Not a Mystery. And I haven't got the text, sadly, but the chapter headings are, I went on board a flying saucer, chapter one. Chapter two, I saw and talked to the men in the flying saucers. Chapter three, the men in the flying saucers will soon return. Remind. None of which suggests to me demons, but apparently that pamphlet talks about them being demons.
The way that you read the earliest those chapters, it sounded like a haiku or something.
Some kind of secret code. Maybe, Annabelle.
So, but 1950 is pretty early on because, you know, 47 was Roswell. I believe the first UFO reporting that we're aware of is 1942, is it during the Second World War, wasn't it? Those air pilots.
The Foo Fighters.
So that's pretty early on, which I'm surprised it's not gained more traction, actually, as a bigger thing in pop culture. As a potential explanation for aliens, given how early it started, the moon landings are fake is still very much up there with everybody's heard that theory. Why have people not heard the theory of aliens are demons?
There's a bit too much crossover in that, I think. There's like, you're limiting the amount of people that are immediately interested. There's the people that are going to buy into the fact that aliens exist, but then it's like you've also got to buy into the fact that demons exist. I guess.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah.
Yep.
So you're limiting your conspiracy audience there.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because even with cryptids, the vast majority, traditionally at least, of conspiracy theorists have scientific minds. They're very much about finding evidence to prove something, and they have scientific explanations. I mean, pseudoscientific a lot of the time, but scientific explanations for their theories. Yeah, you're right. The religious side of things, not so much.
The trouble, obviously, with a lot of them is they approach it with a scientific mind, but to prove the thing that they already believe, as opposed to being open to the other explanations. Like, it's always interesting watching those flat earthers prove that the earth is round with their like genuinely pretty well thought out scientific experiments.
So I'd be interested to know, because obviously J.D. Vance is trying to appeal to that Trump conservative religious fan base.
Yeah.
Trump obviously wants to appeal to them, but I can't imagine him coming out with this, right? Because ultimately he's not. He says that he is a Christian, right? But I don't think he's probably not. I mean, he's come out with a lot, but I can't imagine him coming out and saying, the aliens are demons.
No. Well, he's also said that he doesn't think aliens exist.
Well,
it's one of the few things it's so bizarre that that's the one thing he's consistently said and told the truth about, it seems. He's skeptical of UFOs, which given how much of massive idiot he is, I'm surprised he's not more susceptible to thinking about UFOs. But maybe as a real estate developer, he's never had any time for that kind of nonsense. But given all the other conspiracy theories he endorses and perpetuates, it's weird that the UFO is not a thing for him. Anyway, you're right. I can't see Trump doing it, so I guess it's JD Vance trying to set out his stall to separate himself a little bit from Trump. Maybe
could be.
Could be. It'll be interesting to see if it works, I guess. But there's plenty of time between now and the next election. Although, I guess there's the midterms coming up in...
Midterms coming up soon.
When are the midterms? That'll
be an interesting
one. In November, midterms?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting to see what happens.
People keep saying, oh, it's a disaster with the midterms coming up. And I just think there's still... A week is a long time in politics. There's loads of time for Trump to turn this around, I feel. There's just so much time.
Yeah.
Because his base, like at the moment, I think the Iran war is unpopular whilst it's on. If it stops and it's a month or 2 months before the midterms, that's plenty of time for his base to forget and decide to support him again.
For sure.
Yeah. We shall see what happens. But interesting story nonetheless. Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about before we moved on? No? Well, then, you know what I'm going to ask? Did you have any favorite comments from the past week?
Ooh. Yeah, I did.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, on topic, Rocket Summer commented on our last episode, just interesting, aliens in 2026? Orson Welles noise.
Oh, it's been a while, hasn't it? I read that and I did think, like, it's been so long since I've heard the Orson Welles bit. I need to go back and rewatch it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I got one from Case Closed. And Case Closed says, I don't know about the UK, but here in the United States, there's been a lot of attention on the Kennedys these past few weeks, thanks to a new TV show about JFK Jr. called Love Story. Have you guys watched that?
Oh, no, I haven't actually. I haven't seen that.
It's on Disney Plus.
Here we go. So I remember the All Time Conspiracies channel did a video on the Kennedy curse narrated by Robin. Remember that one? Maybe you guys should revisit that topic again on this channel. And it has been a while since we've covered the Kennedys. I know that we did a few, didn't we? One of my favorites was the magic bullet theory, the magic bullet theory one we did. I thought that was great. But yeah, I reckon going back to the grassy knoll one more time could be fun.
Well, I'm waiting for them to release the final JFK files, right? Because they did
How do they still have more?
I don't know. They may have released the last of them now. I can't remember. But yeah, I'd love to return to that topic. I guess with the Kennedy curse, maybe the story isn't finished yet because there's a notable Kennedy currently in the Trump administration who is either the living embodiment of a curse or is yet to succumb to it. Maybe we should look at that.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, that's a great idea. I had a comment from James Linton Teacher, who this was in last week. We were talking about if there was a drinking game for listening to our podcast, what would some of the rules be? And they say other contenders for a drinking game would include all the running jokes and memes of the channel, including Robot Robin, Martin being Harry Potter's stunt double, Dick Turpin, Orson Welles, the channel that shall not be named, Delia Smith, Succulent Chinese Meal, and the last one they went with was Ronnie Pickering. And we don't have Ronnie Pickering represented. And does he get brought up enough to make it onto the wall, do you think?
We don't. I mean, he's been a buzzer a couple of times.
Ronnie Pickering!
He's a classic. He is a classic. I'd say that probably it starts right now. We've used more than
Ronnie. Yeah.
It starts right now.
That's the one. It's a great video.
It is a great video. Yeah. Interesting though. Yeah, I think at some point we'll have to revisit the background and update it with some new bits and bobs. But
yeah,
that'd be nice. If we start this drinking game, anyone listening to this episode, and how many drinks have they just had in that last 30 seconds?
Yeah, too many.
Yeah, they're under the table. Yeah.
Before we head off, fellas, and it's kind of a relevant thing, I did just want to ask you both. We're obviously, we've had a pretty big space mission that's just come back to Earth.
Yeah.
What do you think of Artemis 2?
Stanley Kubrick did a great...
Well, actually, I believe it when I see it. That's
actually, I was... The follow-up question was going to be, if Stanley Kubrick faked the original moon landing, which, Robin, obviously, you've got that video that you made... over on Uncolored. Right. Have, yeah. you want a little, I'll put a fit link in the card if you want to go watch. But what director do you think the US government would hire to fake 2026?
No, he faked his own death. And then he's done this one too.
Oh, he's still Stanley Kubrick. There you go.
Yeah, still him. Yeah,
they brought him back. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. Yep. Solved. Yeah. That's why they didn't go to the moon this time. Because Stanley's so old now, he's like, I can't bother to fake the moon surface. We'll just do some photos.
Fair
and some zero G footage. I can do the zero G floating in the spaceship in my sleep. That's fine.
Fair enough. Well, let us know in the comments if the US government was to hire a director to fake a moon landing in this year, who would they get? That might be an interesting question to leave it on.
It's actually a really good question.
But I hope you've enjoyed this wacky discussion. And it's been really fun, guys. Nice to see you guys again. We're going to record a Patreon episode after this. So I'm not sure on what topic yet. Maybe on the Artemis. I don't know. But head over to the Patreon website if you want to support us and see all of our videos over there, our little Patreon exclusive bonus episodes. But if not, thanks for watching. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at weightwatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.